segment when the stations join us. There's been a big new development with Saudi Arabia to be given nuclear weapon fuel by Trump. And it's more classic Trump. Wait till we get to this. And Glenn Beck and more. You talk about a masterclass in trying to get Trump to change direction, but kissing his ass while you do it. And I wish I was just as slick as Beck. I mean, I'm actually admire it. I'm serious. But let's go to your phone calls right now. Who's been holding the longest here? Let's go to Justin in Florida, affiliated with the Army. I'm just going to say that because people say, they go, I'm not in the Army anymore, not stolen valor. You need to tell us, former Army, current Army, I don't care. Just we know your expertise, your background. Justin in Florida, go ahead.
Hey, Alex, I was just looking at a few pieces of information, like the Red-Green Alliance. Who would normally last out of the two in the Red-Green Alliance? It's normally the Greens. The Muslims have social cohesion, whereas there's a lot of moral decay and a lot of factors weakening our social cohesion here in the West. So who's going to last is probably going to be the Greens. And if we're going to have a war with Iran or in that region, we're going to send a lot of our more Christian people over there to fight the war for us. It seems that way or looks that way. And we're going to have a huge gaping hole of that social cohesion here in the United States while we're importing other people from other belief systems. So that's something that I wanted to point out to you. And the Section 219 thing, that's a brilliant idea from Israel's perspective. I mean, we were using Ukraine to fight a proxy war for us for, against Russia. In a way, Israel's doing that to us.
By the way, I love how you just quantified that, because I babble for hours trying to make a simple point that's so important. Israel's leaders are bragging that we are fighting a proxy war for them, and this is, quote, the perfect situation, is what Ben-Gvir and their finance ministers Smortich said. Absolutely. I mean, but imagine the arrogance of that statement. But I guess it's not arrogance. It's being secure. It's confidence. And they
absolutely. Yeah. You have the most powerful country in the world. I mean, we all agree that and say that, right?
It's true.
And now you're using that as your ship, and you're steering that into combat. And now you have Section 219. So instead of us, giving funding, they don't have to beg like Zelensky had to beg. So now they're able to steer the ship. They've attached themselves to the hip. They have money coming in completely from the United States. And you know what they're going to do is once they get entrenched, they're going to build a logic bomb, so to speak. So if we ever did try to root them out or experience some sort of nationalism that did not include them, they're going to self-destruct the ship, basically. So these are all factors that are going to take place.
All the top ministers in Netanyahu's thing have said, if we ever don't do what they say, they'll sabotage us and bring down America. And now they'll be able to in control of the intelligence of the Pentagon.
Yeah, well, you saw it with the pagers. Same thinking at play.
And remember what, I'm going to hold you over. You're a really smart caller. I want you to be able to finish up. Stay there. Don't hang up. I'm coming right back to you in a minute. I want people to hear what you just said. I mean, a lot of stations out there don't carry the first five of the internet here, so it's a big audience, but I want everybody to hear what you said when you repeat that. Because as you're saying it, I'm just like, yep, they said that. You have the head of the ADL 3 months ago said we need to use in our propaganda war in the Eighth Front in America the same energy and the same ideas we use with exploding pagers on Hamas. And that was a literal statement. And then you've got all these threats. Oh, you think you and your little podcast will stop us? We'll deal with you, pal. Yeah, that's Mark Levin to Tucker. And remember, exposing this, all we get is demonetized. All we get is shadow banned. All we get is sued. All we get is attacked. As we stand up for our sovereignty. And then you got the crazed, insane Muslims that hate us. And then you got the Nazis that hate me and Tucker because we don't worship Hitler. But, it's okay. We're just going to continue to expose evil and know that God's watching and we commit ourselves into God's hands. But we're going to come right back to the caller, Justin, who's absolutely on target. He's got a way of just saying it so simply. I want him to start over and repeat what he said and then to finish up. And then more calls, Jay, Matt, others, stay with us.
Abe, I think this is my favorite Alex Jones shirt.
Dude, I totally agree.
Founding fathers on patrol. Washington and Lincoln rocking the latest Alex Jones shirt. Marching past America's monuments. Liberty is awake. Visit thealexjonesstore.com now.
دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
That's the strike that killed four, we are told. Service members in Jordan, and now their bodies have been brought back and were met by the president and the head of the Pentagon, Secretary of Defense, yesterday. And now footage has been released from some of the cell phones, and you hear the air raid sirens, so eerie. Remember about 3 years ago, I started playing air raid sirens every day, and normally I do that like once a year when something was really dangerous. About 3 years ago, I said, you're going to start on the road we are on, hear the real air raid sirens. And, of course, you heard them in Ukraine as well, so I guess I've been playing them like 5 years. Time flies. Before the Ukraine war, I started playing air raid sirens. This is 5 years ago. And about 6 months before. And then now, every day, air raid sirens. And I say, that's a symbol of what you're about to deal with culturally, spiritually, economically, and militarily. So here's some footage of... And then it just cuts off because they were killed. They were able to extract this video. There's a bunch of these. It's so sad. Here's some of the footage. Listen how haunting that is. Listen to those air raid sirens. Going back to Justin, Army background in a moment. They're in their shorts, and then just it ends because a missile came in right on top of them. Where's their bunkers? Israelis all have bunkers. The Iranians have bunkers. Oh, they get metal buildings, and you see the satellite photos just destroyed dozens of buildings. You think it's really four dead? These are the last moments. All right, and then it just cuts. Let's go back to Justin. Recap what you said for stations that didn't carry the last segment, because you're talking about Israel's confidence, not arrogance, of basically having us in checkmate if the Senate passes this NDAA, and it shows how much control they already have that they would even openly do this and brag about it. And even the Washington Post, the New York Times, Army Times, military.com, they say, no, this is a merger that takes over everything, and they will co-own everything. It's like a 51st state that owns us, and you've got members of Congress voting in IDF uniforms. I mean, I would hate any country coming in and running us, and much less one getting us into a giant war and saying it's ideal. America's fighting our proxy war like Ukraine's fighting Russia for its proxy war, as you said. So recap what you said, Justin, in Florida.
Right. So the Red-Green Alliance was how I opened this up to you. I was talking about how the Red and Greens, even though they may have a common enemy, the Greens have more social cohesion, and that's also one of the big points I was trying to drive in this. In the same way that we were using Ukraine as our proxy to fight against Russia, Israel is able to use the United States in that manner to fight against Iran or whoever they see. And while we're in the Middle East, destabilizing the Middle East, immigrating Muslims over into the United States, they at least have some sort of social cohesion, even if they have different groups, Sunnis, Shiite, Wahhabists, Some practice taqiyya, some do not. But they all have an understanding. They can look at each other eye to eye, and even if they have a problem with each other, there is that unspoken understanding where they're on a team, and we're taking our social cohesion and what little is left of it, I might add, that's in the United States military, we're shipping that over. I mean, even if you have Christians or if you have gays or other people of, you know, adverse beliefs, in the same United States military, there is a fellowship, I would say, and there is an understanding. And even if we all vote Republican or Democrat, our values, our cohesion is still there underneath it all. And we're just getting rid of those people in the military. We're opening up vacant holes here in the United States, and we're refilling the culture with other people that don't have those values.
And that's exactly what they did with the poison COVID shot purge and the DEI purge and the trans purge was meant to run the good people out. They said that's what they were doing.
Thank you for bringing up the COVID thing. Back in April 2020, I never got to thank you for that, but I actually got to take some stuff that helped me and saved my life, and I owe that to your show. So I owe that to you, so thank you for
that.
Well,
I owe that. It's a circle here, the opposite of a firing squad, but a circular, you know, empowerment circle. It's the listeners that boost the show. It's the guest. It's all of it, all the doctors we had on. I've got more thank yous on the street and more emails and just thanking us for exposing it, don't take the shot, getting ahead of it, talking about what would protect you. And, of course, we're all in this together. We all went through it together. So don't thank me. I thank you. We're all on the same team. So thank you, listeners. That's when listeners thank me. I go, well, you, stop. Just spread the word. All I do is stand the fight and just support us, thealexjonesstore.com. It's you. Look, because people need to get it. It's not me. I'm just a focal point. And these guests that have great track records, like Patrick Byrne coming up, it's about all of us together. God bless you, sir, and thanks for the call. Let's jam in a few more that I'm going to hit some scenarios and then go talk to Patrick Byrne in the other studio. Let's go to Jay in Texas. Jay, you're on the air worldwide.
Hey, Alex, I want to answer your what do we do question, the Iran question, and the Mali question. So you had asked why is Trump switching to Mali? Russia is in Mali. Wherever Russia puts their pawn, Trump is trying to put his pawn. Iran proved during the 12-day war that they have nuclear capable delivery systems. And what do? I don't know if you've seen what's going on at the Alamo. They drew a circle that said this is your free speech zone. So what we need to do is network and protest. They have no answer to protesting at all. It's the thing they fear the most. And they fear the firebrand, Alex Jones, who goes out and protests all the time. So my request to you is to speak to Massey and Sean Ryan. And also for viewers, look in the supply chain, E2 open. Type that in the search. Thank you, Alex.
What was the search again?
E is in energy, the number 2, and the word open. So this all boils down to supply chain.
Yeah, listen, your phone's a little distorted. Talk, say it slowly. What is it?
E is in energy, the number 2, and the word open.
E energy open.
E, the number 2, open. E2 open.
E2 open, got it. We'll look it up. Thank you.
This all boils down to global supply chain.
Yeah, it's a global supply chain energy war.
Yes, and they're using, basically, they have a, the same way they've got social media algorithms, they have supply chain algorithms that show where all their stress points are and their release valves and everything, and so they're using that.
And just like they can game with flash instant trading to manipulate the markets and consolidate, they're using this global stress with their AI so that they can consolidate power. You're absolutely right.
Precisely. So this isn't even about your honor or greater Israel. This is about a constant state of war to erode our liberties. That's all it boils down to. Thank you.
I agree. The Western world and freedom is the main target. This is the Great Reset 2.0.
What? Yes, so you'll know your enemies by whether they align with you on the Fed bring the troops home topics or not. That's how you'll know your enemies.
The other veterans you talk to, what do they say? I mean, almost all the military I talk to, former and current, is against this.
They're all so pissed off. They don't want to speak out because they know what they want to say. And so that's why networking and protesting is the solution. You say, what do we do? What magic button? My question was, were you thinking more creatively or analytically? And you're asking, what do I do? What's the magic button? Were you thinking like from an analytical standpoint or a creative standpoint?
I'm brainstorming on every front here because I'm not just going to sit here and this is guaranteed. The Pentagon told Trump, don't do this. I mean, I don't just believe them. I've read their analysis. It's dead on. And I talked
creatively. It's like we need to show them that we are peacefully feral people who will go to the Alamo and protest and say, we are not your slaves. This is America. Y'all destroyed the dollar from $18 to $6,000 an ounce. You've stolen the entire wealth of America 333 times over. This is not the greatest economy ever. Stop gaslighting us.
I appreciate your call. Excellent points. We're pretty much hitting the scenarios here. Okay, why is this being done? At the globalist level, it consolidates power. It blocks China. It puts the general public in a deeper debt. It consolidates wealth vertically. COVID doubled the average Western billionaire's wealth. The general public lost about half their wealth. This is economic warfare. And they said in that document that Lou Dobbs got when Judicial Watch sued back in 2006, I put it in my film Endgame, from the BAMP Canada Secret World Government Summit. They had all the world leaders, corporate leaders there for a week. A super Bilderberg meeting. And they said, we're going to use viruses to bring in world government, wars, and economic collapse that has a migrant flow and replacement migration. And I mean, that's it. Now, Israel's like, we're going to grab everything and we're in charge. Ha ha. And they're the big lobby that makes sure it happens. And they're happy to take the blame and are like playing the part of ha ha ha. We're the megalomaniacs. It's all scripted, folks. And it's crazy. I want to go back to your calls, but looking at the scenarios here in a moment, I'm just going to state the simple scenarios, and then in future broadcasts, I'm going to drill into each one because I can do an hour on each one. There's five or six main scenarios, and then there's sub-scenarios and overlapping scenarios. I mean, it's unending, but they're all going the same direction. And it's all totalitarianism. It's all control. The globalists win either way unless we know they're behind it. Once we knew they were behind the COVID, and once they got in trouble, they backed off. You've got to explain how it's on purpose, like with the commies. Oh, the commies are dumb. They don't know how things work. God, they're stupid. No, it's an evil totalitarian plan. Islam, oh, God, they're crazy. No, it's a plan to take over. That's what the Quran is a military political takeover manifesto. So, and he, in the manifesto, he used what he learned in his 10 years taking over major cities to do it. So he wasn't just theoretically saying it. He'd done it. Well, we're smart, too, we have good on our side. We can counter this crap. But you got to learn who the players are. You got to get engaged. You got to inform the general public how the game's played. Because if you just fight the game, this head of the hydra, that head, people never figure it out. But if you explain the whole game to people, they go, oh, it's like those hidden pictures where you can't see the hidden image for a couple minutes and finally you see it. And you're like, how did I not see that? It's a bunch of green dots. You're looking at it for like 5 minutes. Oh, it's a giraffe. Or, oh, it's a lion's head, or, you know, whatever, or it's a flower. How did I not see that? Because once you see it, you can't unsee it. We got to get people to not be told about the Matrix. They got to take the red pill. You got to see it for yourself. Then there ain't no going back. We're not giving people fish. We're teaching them how to fish here. And then you can predict all this stuff just like I do. And once you can predict things, you can stop things. That's why I'm like, hey, see, I predicted that. I predicted this. See, I told you this. That. This is how I did it. Now, this is how you can do it. You know. And with your own expertise, you can do better than I am. I want you to be empowered. That's what I believe in. Rising tide raises all ships. I don't want Machiavellian control that you don't understand. I want it. I'm the type of guy that goes to a magic show and tells the kids that you know, there's a trap door, the rabbit's under it. It opens up. He pulls it out of the hat. Notice he'll put the hat on the table first. There's a rabbit in there. People are like, hey, they're kids. Don't ruin the fun for them, you know. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you how the card trick works, okay? That's what we're doing. And you can teach me how other card tricks work. And I don't have all the answers either. I'm not up here as the brainiac. To me, this is so damn easy once you know this stuff. I can't believe it's not easier to beat these people. But people buy into their narratives. They buy into their limited crap. All right. Glenn Beck did what Bill O'Reilly and Laura Ingraham and a bunch of others have done, but they just did it point blank. Hey, man, you're making a lot of mistakes. You're flip-flopping. You look bad. You take off a month. Hey, you're going to lose the midterms. You got to end this war. It's a disaster. Listen to the Pentagon. Beck is like, oh, Trump, you're so smart. You kept oil prices down when they thought right away they'd go to 120. You kept them down at 90. That's still hurting things, but we need to end this now. But, you know, the Pentagon told you don't do this, and boy, you sure outsmarted them. But take your success now, which hadn't really been successful. It just could have been worse because he did mitigate it some, lying and saying it's open and saying everything's okay and using his credibility to, but now he's losing the credibility. See, so Beck approaches it not from, man, you screwed up, to, oh, you're really smart, sir, and wow, but you might, you know, take your winnings while you got them. And now Mike Johnson just came out. Put that back on screen. Speaker of the House. Speaker Mike Johnson, when asked if he will push for congressional limits on Trump's intervention in Iran, we got to wrap this up because we're not winning it. And it's one thing if Wall Street and the globalists consolidate power and make some more money. It's no good if we lose America's power. And as corrupt as we are, I don't want that because all we've got is the dollar. It's very paradoxical. So see, I'm talking about how everybody's telling Trump stop. That's the damn Speaker of the House. Because it's a disaster. I know you know that, but we have to get the word out because Israel's spending billions to buy off talk show hosts. They admit they are to just spew crap. And they can point at the Nazis and the Muslims that are complete idiots and try to make themselves look good. You got to go, no. Israel's funding the radical Muslims. And the Southern Poverty Law Center's running the Nazis. Oh, no. You got to get sophisticated. You got to get full spectrum. That's how you win. So here's Glenn Beck. This is a masterclass on how you get Trump, who is, especially in his old age, very ego-driven, to listen. This is a powerful short clip. Here it is.
He outmaneuvered our best thinkers at the Pentagon. Our best thinkers at the Pentagon said, this is the way we fight this. And when we do fight this, God forbid we ever have to fight it, oil will go to $150 to $350 a barrel. That collapses the economy. That's why all of these guys kicked the can down the road. Because there's no way out. And the Pentagon knew it. So all the advisors said, can't do it because it'll do this. Donald Trump says, well, that's not how I'm going to fight the war. I'm going to fight the war differently, and I'm going to keep the strait open. And they're like, Mr. President, you're not going to be able to. Well, really? Watch me. Because here's how we're going to do it.
Hit pause.
So they all get on board.
But the last 146 days, it's only been open partially, maybe a third of that. But it's the perception it's open. And Beck admits that in a moment. But see, now he doesn't have the credibility. Now it's not working. Now the Strategic Oil Reserve is gone. He doesn't have that cushion anymore. But Beck's telling him, oh, you succeeded. When he really didn't, he just didn't totally screw the pooch yet. Back to him.
Okay. And he has kept the price between $110 and $70 a barrel. Today, I think it's an $83 or $88 a barrel, something like that, which is totally doable. We've had that kind of price before. At $120, it starts to get really dicey. I mean, it's expensive, but it's economy collapsing at $120 to $150 sustained. The economy collapses. So his advice or his advisor said, don't go in because the economy collapsed because of the price of oil. He said, no, that's not a problem. Now, I believe that he thought this would end quicker. I think he really thought that there would be somebody
that he could kill the
top people at the very beginning. And the others would go like, I don't want to die. So I'm with him. But he didn't take into account, I think, how diehard these 12ers actually are. They are in it for the long run. And so this has lasted longer than he thought it would. And because of that, we have had to open up our strategic oil reserves. China opened up their strategic oil reserves. Europe opened up their strategic oil reserves. Everybody now is out of oil in our strategic oil reserves. Out. That's meant for wartime. If we're at the beginning of the war, we're in deep, deep trouble. Because there's no cushion now to bring the price from $150 down to $100 a barrel. There's no price. If somehow or another oil cannot come through that choke point to us, we can't run our ships and our airplanes. This is extraordinarily dangerous. And the president has told me, he was given information. He didn't tell me what it was, but he was given information that said, if I continue and I don't put a pause on this right now, we could have a global economic collapse. And his quote to me was, and I am not going to be Herbert Hoover. I am not going to put the world into an economic depression. This is probably the most severe energy supply disruption in history. More than 1 billion barrels have been lost, roughly 100 million more every single week that it stays shut. But it's not shut. Because if it was shut, we wouldn't have $88 a barrel of oil today. So what did Trump see? What did 47 see that 45 wasn't willing to do? What did Trump 47 see that none of the others were willing to see?
Now I've got a Tucker Carlson clip I want to play where he explains, clip 17, what we're dealing with here with Russia. And Russia has been very clear. They're getting ready to strike NATO bases that are producing the weapons. And they've already told NATO, when we hit, that's so you'll negotiate. But if you want to go to full war, including nuclear, let's do it. Because you're not going to keep firing thousands of drones and missiles a week. And you're blowing up the oil refineries, shopping centers, high-rises, government buildings. I mean, every day in Russia, it's just, I mean, they've attacked targets 4,000 miles away from Ukraine, blowing up their nuke bombers, Operation Spiderweb. I mean, it's all to get them to go to war. That's NATO. NATO thinks they can win a nuclear war with them because they got bunkers. These people want us all dead. These are megalomaniacs. This is Dr. Strangelove for real, General Jack T. Ripper. And Tucker explains that anybody that wants this war with Russia, that's even worse than Iran, just Iran's already happening and killing the economy, and that's something we think we can end. Even worse is the Ukraine proxy war. Here's Tucker Carlson.
If they were ever allied, Trump said, here you would have the world's largest country, biggest landmass with the most resources, in partnership with the world's largest population and the world's largest economy. And together, that is hegemony. Like, they run the world at that point, and we don't.
That's
so don't
what
do
was,
that.
Zbigniew Brzezinski was warning about, you remember?
Yeah,
exactly
of
about that.
Of course, it's the most obvious thing ever. So if you're pushing for war with Russia as an American, you're trying to destroy the United States. It's that simple. And it's not about who's Churchill and who's Chamberlain and all this nonsense that they, you know, idiots like Biden are always talking about. Marco Rubio's talking about. Look, the truth is you can't make a case for war with Russia. We are at war with, the U.S. is at war with Russia. CIA is targeting attacks in mainland Russia. We are at war with Russia. I grieve saying that. It's so crazy. It's so reckless. It's so destructive. And I'm so embarrassed. But we are. And we would have to say to all the people who fund Marco Rubio's campaigns for the last 30 years, I'm sorry, you're not in charge. And there's no appetite to do that. I've tried to do it. You know, they don't like it when you do that. But tough. Who puts you in charge anyway? Like, what is this?
The Rus, back with Russophobia, you made some good points about how the narrative is really trying to make Russia seem like the villain, the enemy, the bad. And as you know, you met me here the last time we met. We were talking in Moscow, and I came here seeking political asylum when the Biden administration weaponized against me. And I was safer and freer in Russia.
Tucker goes on to state, we'll put it all in post. We post this to X. We're live right now and to Rumble, rumble.com/SonicShowsLive, where he explains, like, you hate America and you want to get us all killed if you want a nuclear war with Russia. And people go, oh, that's a traitor. We need war with Russia. That's what a patriot does. No, that's what a psycho does. You don't do this. I'm going to cover the waterfront with Patrick Byrne, who's in studio with us. I'm going to go into the interview studios right next door to me here. Here in the backup, Alex Jones Network Studios, we got the new studios rolling along nicely, ready. We just need more funds, so please go to thealexjonesstore.com, get the best Patriot apparel, the best supplements, the collectible coins, the best water filtration, all of it. I need your support. These are great products. I want to thank those that have supported, encourage those that haven't. What are you doing? We need your help. These are great products. Take action now. If you don't fund the Patriots, you're not fighting for your own future. Thealexjonesstore.com. Stay with us.
A microscopic tag being implanted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix. Graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here, is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Colin saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder who put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health. What it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Here. Victory starts here. Tyranny dies here. Freedom grows here. You have the power in your hands right now before we cover all this incredible game-changing over-the-horizon information to share the live feeds now at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live, the coordinates of victory, and Real Alex Jones on X at AJN Live, and more. AlexJonesLive.com, our news site with the feeds, video, audio, article, special reports, government documents, think tank reports, and more.
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing. Someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Screaming, we love Satan, we want to eat babies. I have them on video. I mean, folks, this is literally like a demonic invasion. I'm telling you, that's what it is.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
All right, former Overstock CEO and secret American patriot. Operative out there doing clandestine work for the United States of America. Patrick Byrne is in studio with us. He's a great guest. He loves to come to town and do the interviews. And I wanted to give big updates on Trump's speech last week about communist China that you and I have been detailing for years. The documents have come out, but even more, you have federal court documents that they've told you not to release, but you're going to do that here today. And this is much the material that Trump has back in November of last year. I was briefed by folks that wanted me to leak it. That were in the meeting with Susie Wiles, the president, the vice president, and others, bring up everything you documented and said about for decades out of China, making the computers, the machines, the remote access cell phone systems, and claiming it came out of Taiwan, selling it through multiple companies down in Venezuela with the Democratic Party, but with the CIA even above it in the deep state, then the FBI covering that up in 2020, before, during, and after the fraud. And now you've got smoking gun, huge news, and so many patriots already know all this or know it's true. But now we have the absolute proof in bona fides, and the president goes public. This is a big deal. He's got so much anger in his supporters over the Epstein stuff and over other things. They just say, we have no confidence in the FBI, any of this. Well, I have a lot of problems with Trump, but at the same time, election integrity is everything. And we know the Democrats have been doing this forever, and now they're getting caught. And so this is a very real thing that Trump's doing, just like securing the border and 96% crossing stopping and at least some deportations. That's better than flooding us like Biden. We want it to be better. We've had Movino on saying, you know, that it's going sideways. But so many people literally don't understand that China has 1.5 billion people, that they control rare earth minerals. They're building bases everywhere. They brag on Chinese TV that they're going to take over. And I saw maybe a third of the audience, you know, literally say, oh, this is a distraction from, you know, Israel and the NDAA and what they're doing. You can have two separate big power groups, you know, with influence the U.S. and cover what they're doing. It doesn't take away from covering the other thing. China is very, very serious adversary. Of the CFR until just recently saying it's the Chinese century, America's done. BlackRock saying America's done. Back when Trump first got in, he Fink went to Davos and laughed and said, he thinks China will be defeated. We're making all our investments there. America's done. Well, now he's had to say, okay, we'll move the investment back, which is happening to a certain extent because Trump actually, you know, knows his power now. So that's a good thing. Killing the carbon taxes, the Paris Accord, that estimates of Lord Monckton and others would kill 2 billion people if they cut half the carbon. You know, they want to get rid of most of the farms. Look at the Netherlands. Look at Ireland. Look at Sri Lanka. So this is very real stuff, killing the carbon taxes that China's been promoting because they've been building coal power plants. And you know, Germany's getting rid of all its nuclear plants, hydroelectric. They're even Nord Stream's blown up. I mean, that's something good Trump did. We're going to praise the good things he does and support those. Cutting off the windmills, the ugly eyesores that don't work right and don't produce the power. We can promote the good stuff Trump's doing. It doesn't mean we're being conned by Trump. He does things we don't like. But China is really, coverage of it's being neglected now that we're focused on Ukraine and on Iran, which are important. I just spent 2.5 hours on Israel and Russia and the rest of it. So for people out there, oh, what are you doing getting off the Israel thing? Well, there's other fish to fry. There's other things to do. You know, you can have your eye on multiple balls here at the same time. So, Patrick Byrne, thank you so much for being here. And you have this exclusive information for us today. But I first wanted to get your 35,000-foot view just on where you see the Republic, where your sources, like General Flynn, who wasn't going to come on. He says he's coming on next week now. Kind of his State of the Union about where we are, the midterms, 3 months away, Mondami, the state of our elections, you know, the SAVE Act, all of this.
Great question. I've been watching your show the last hour, Alex, and you've done a beautiful job. The thing people should need to realize, it's one integrated war. It's one integrated war that we're fighting. It's not an either-or thing. I met with Iran at government direction in late 2021. I was permitted by our government, even under Biden, to go. I was instructed to go meet with them. There were some people who wanted to talk to me. They told me in November 2021, look, World War III is all planned and it's about to kick off. They were interested in talking about other things that might take it off rails, and it was not feasible. But this was all planned. It's one integrated war with a China, Russia, Iranian, Venezuelan, Cuba against our side. So,
and they all say that. This isn't a secret. It's not our opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's over corridors, trade, and energy.
And they've spent decades moving the pieces into place for it.
Need a cup of water?
No, I've got a drink. I do have I lost half a lung 30 days ago. They took out half a lung, some of my tumors and stuff. I'm good now, but I'm going to keep a second of cough drop.
Wow.
So it's I'll do anything for you, Alex. I'm just getting back on my feet.
You're tough.
So it's one war we're fighting. I do think that we have to fear being overextended. We should not. The Ukraine war is the stupidest war in my lifetime. Flynn likes to say, I'm not against war, I'm against stupid war. Ukraine's a stupid war. Ukraine should have just been treated like Finland. The Russians were totally open to us not taking into NATO and making it neutral like Finland. Putin could have lived without. And we, in my opinion, we picked this. We engineered this since 2014. For some reason, Biden, like I was raised by super hawks. So general who was my great god in life, a general who was Vesey, named General Vesey, chairman of the Joint Chiefs under Reagan. Super hawk, fought in World War II. And he always was telling me, don't listen to these chicken hawks in D.C. Any world where we can get along with Russia and China is better than any world where we don't. And they are trying to engineer. Washington's been trying to engineer a fight over Ukraine since 2014. For some reason, Obama, Biden, Clinton, even Bush are all dead certain that we had to pull Ukraine into NATO. It really goes back to that's a big news, Zabrinsky.
Grand Chessboard.
You know about the Great Chessboard? Yeah, that book.
And Victoria Nuland testified to Congress. We started it all. Very provocative. If Soros, like now 10 years ago, goes on Fareed Zakaria, back when he could still talk, and said, I'm the czar of Russia. I did this. We'll suck Russia in, and then we'll have a war, and they'll be broken up. You have the unelected EU commission saying that exactly. And now you even have the Speaker of the House just came out today and said, we need to end the Iran war now. You have Bill O'Reilly saying it. You have Laura Ingraham saying it. You have Glenn Beck saying, oh, we love you, Trump. Great job keeping oil prices down so far, but you can't do it long. You need to end this now. I mean, but what is the off-ramp? Because the mullahs are going to keep the straight clothes. They're being belligerent.
I think at this point, Trump is just going to try to collapse the bridges, the power plants, everything, and the idea being 15 to 30 days after everything collapses, there's no money to pay the soldiers, no money to pay the ROGC. I think that's
siege. There's a carried out total siege.
So yeah, that's I think where he is now. To me, the more important or the most obvious war to stop is.
So you think Iran will fold soon?
I don't know, but I think I know that that's Trump's strategy. He's going all in for just let's siege it, let's collapse it.
There's a major surge of troops and equipment right now.
Boy, I'd be really hard-pressed to put troops ashore. We have total.
He's leaning towards that.
To seize Karg Island or something beyond that?
Beyond, I talked to people this morning that were huge Trump supporters that are in the know, and they're pretty depressed.
I would avoid.
That's why we need to make a big noise about this.
Okay. Well, to me, the Ukraine war is something that we should. It was the more foolish war to start. The thing with,
like you said, it's all part of the same war.
Same war, the same as the Venezuelan, Cuban, Election stuff, same as China. It's all one big war, and they have plotted this out.
And if Trump's going to accelerate this, he needs to address the nation and explain it's all one big war, like Churchill did. I mean, if he's going to do it, he needs to tell everybody. I mean, like,
yeah, and he hasn't been so communicative about
yeah.
real reasons for doing things. I guess
he wants to jack the market back up, so he says it's all over, it's all fine when it's not. But that's not working as good anymore.
He pays too much attention to sort of superficial. If the stock market goes up, oh, that's me, that I take credit. That's not a good mentality. But he, to me, the Iran war, I'm very concerned with Islamism and the overthrow of the West through Islam.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's really an alliance that's gone back to 1920. There was a meeting in Baku. Yeah, in Baku, Azerbaijan, which was the Soviet Union back then, that Trotsky sent the Comintern and the communists and the Brotherhood, the leading Islamic intellectuals of the day. They met in Baku in 1920, and they agreed on a long-term joint project to destroy the West. That's why.
It's like the Muslim Brotherhood has had the Communist Alliance since then.
That's when it started. And now the Islamic extremism is really headquartered in Iran. Even the Sunnis, the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda and all that stuff, it's really based out of Iran. If we want to really end the Islamic struggle for the West, taking on Iran will have a huge effect there. So to me, there's more reason to fight in Iran that doesn't have to do with October 7th and such. And it is such a...
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt that Iran is behind Islam's main expansion, the serious expansion. And the Saudis and all of them know that. The problem is Israel wants a greater Israel and has inserted itself and used its lobby to get this done. And now with its incredible unpopularity, that's now blown back on the United States. And that's why this is degenerating so quickly.
Did you see the Israeli finance minister said something horrible the other day? Basically, let us stay out of this. In other words,
said it's ideal. Like we're fighting a proxy war for Israel.
Onward Christian soldiers is basically what he's saying. Onward, let the Americans fight this and we just hang back. That's ugly. That's ugly, no doubt.
Well, why do they say things like we're going to destroy all of Lebanon and kill everybody and burn it all, Ben-Gvir, and then 4,000 Israelis with him storm the Golden Dome, Al-Aqsa Mosque? They want provocation. And I'm not even anti-Israel. That's what I'm saying. Like, the people doing this and behaving like that in Israel, they're at the end of the day the anti-Israel people.
Yeah,
I mean, because they are really, you can look second, third order out here. This is not good.
I support Israel. I do not support greater Israel. And if there really is a plan, which it seems like there is, to amongst about 20% of the electorate to take the Middle East, we can't be supporting
it. I mean, the U.S. ambassador, call him the Israeli ambassador, with Tucker Carlson 4 months ago, he said, yeah, Israel's going to take it all. Huckabee. And if you're going to take it all, why do they say it? Like we're coming to take it. And then and it's like, okay. They're like, on guard. Put your fist up.
Bad thinking on their part, and we should not be supportive of them taking it all.
So where does that arrogance come from? You've been over in the Middle East a lot. You know the Israelis.
Yeah, they run a lot. Well, I don't know the Israelis so well. They're the ones I know the least in the Middle East, frankly. They're hard to figure. You know, they say put two Jews in a room, you get three opinions. They're not one thing you got to understand is the big split in Israel between the normals and the deep state, the Ehud Barak people. They have a set of people over there who are like Obamaites. They're called
they're Arabists, pretty much. They're like,
well, they're the kind of Jews who hate other Jews. They certainly hate Christians. They hate us all. I don't know. They're like Bolsheviks. I don't really have a good feel on internal Israeli politics anymore. I did.
And of course, it is Ehud Barak and all them that are really in with Epstein. I'm not defending Netanyahu. We all hear, oh, it's Netanyahu. No, it's that branch of Ehud Barak and Obama. Which is why does Trump help cover it up when it doesn't even blow back on him?
Exactly. And in fact, Ehud Barak and Epstein were linked much closer than people know. I do have sources in Israeli government who tell me that Epstein actually visited under an assumed name under the guise of some Jewish tour group of Americans going to Israel. And while he was there, he was moved and taken to military bases under an assumed name, had all kinds of meetings. The Israeli intelligence now knows this. The Netanyahu people now know this. But that was under Ehud Barak.
Well, it's in the emails that Epstein was like his main advisor. There's hundreds and hundreds of him telling him what to do.
Yeah.
By the way, people say I'm always right. I'm not. I read thousands of these, and they admit they're real. He was brought to the Trinidad Commission, Epstein, when he was 30 in 1990, and Rockefeller was already sick and had heart transplants then. He lived to 100. he was the stand-in as the head of the Trilateral Commission, and so he just promoted him because he'd come out of Barr and the CIA and Mossad, which you know now even Vance has admitted, and he was basically the shadow head of the Trilateral Commission for all those years, and that's why he was
college dropout that had been hired by Barr's father
at the girls' school, and his dad wrote books about aliens that kidnap hot human girls and put them on a sex slave planet.
Right. Not to read anything into all
space relations.
It is crazy. It is crazy. Yeah. So, but to me, I have different feelings. I'd get out of the Ukraine war first. We got to end the Ukraine war. This is a stupid war. Iran, I certainly don't support putting boots on the ground, but with total air power, I'm surprised that we would ever need to put boots on the ground. I mean, well,
it's because the Strait of Hormuz is 18 miles across, and they can even use dumb weapons, artillery and just basic missiles. I mean, they can take out ships anytime. They're so dug in. It's a rat's nest. And so that's why we can't even put our ships in there. And so they can continue as long as they hold that. And so they put troops on Kirk Island. They get attacked. Then, oh, we've got to go in and take the whole thing. They say they want 100,000 troops for that. And they're sending the troops in, by the way.
That's
full mobilization. I don't know if they're going to pull the trigger, but the word is Trump has told them to be ready to go in within a month.
That's horrible to think about. Horrible to think about.
Pentagon's pretty upset because if people are pissed about four coffins, if we're lucky, it'll be thousands. I mean, this will be like 100 Fallujahs going into there.
And what is a shame is there were significant forces in Iran not so many years ago willing to talk about switching sides and getting rid of the mullahs and being done with this experiment.
Did you see where they were secretly working with Ahmadinejad?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We don't have our side. There have been opportunities for peace all my life that I've seen up close and personal, it's like our people back in D.C. don't want it. There have been so many opportunities for peace and overtures that I've been received over the years that the people in D.C., I don't know if it's the military-industrial complex or what, they don't want it.
Well, you know the story of Ahmadinejad. He was the one secretly working and ready to overthrow and make the deal, and that's confirmed now, with Israel and the U.S., and then Israel waited till a bunch of generals came to his house and then blew them up in the parking lot and then hurt him really bad, and when they almost killed him, he said, I'm done. And that just happened a couple months ago. And then their whole network they had through him dried up. It's like Israel's like, well, we didn't try to kill him, but it literally like blew him through a wall, broken bones and stuff. And he was just like, you used me to get him in a meeting and then you almost killed me. And they're like, we bombed the parking lot. Now
we don't want peace. We don't want peace. A lot of times in the world that there's opportunities for peace, we don't want it. We're not always.
Well, imagine Dinajit becomes this Western Israeli U.S. spy, gives them all the network, and then they drop a multi 2,000-pound bombs 100 feet from 300 feet from him. And he's just like, they're like, he goes, I don't trust you now. I can see why.
Of course not. Well, what do you think that we should do in Iran? Just declare victory and quit the field?
The problem is they have nuclear weapon material. They can make one anytime they want. I said they would say that. Now, Saudi Arabia, I want to ask you about this. Oh, they're going to be given nukes, and it's like, oh, no, it's only the fissile material, but it's actually peaceful. Well, actually, it's weapons grade. I've been told by really good sources and even seen mentions of it over the years that they have a deal with Pakistan to keep their flagged aircraft in Pakistan with nukes. And I always heard if they're about to go to war, they'll move that back. And a month ago, they moved that wing back to Saudi Arabia. So I think this is a way to kind of introduce the idea that Saudi Arabia has nukes.
You know, we've always, and since the Cold War started, we always agreed on a couple principles. Let's keep the U.S. and Russian Soviet troops out of the same theater, because if they ever start shooting each other, then everything starts escalating in a way you can't control. And the second thing is, let's keep nukes out of the Middle East. No one should have a nuke. Now, we know Israel does. Everyone knows Israel does. But at least they're rational. The problem with Iran is none of the game theory that's been used for 70 years about nukes worked with Iran, because in all the mutually assured destruction, all the game theoretic calculations go out the window when you're dealing with somebody who thinks like the Iranians do.
12th Mahdi, they think it'll bring the Messiah.
There's no way to control them. There's no way to control them once they get nukes. I think if they had, you know, last June they came out and told the IAEA, we now have 60, you know, enough material for 10 nukes in 2 weeks. If I think that once they have that, you're going to see within 6 months The president got a phone call that says, we now have 10 nukes planted in 10 cities. We're going to blow up St. Louis just to show you that we're serious about it. And now that you've accepted this, there's a whole new world order to discuss. And this world order, you know, you don't criticize Islam, women wear burqas. I mean, the U.S. is done when that happens. So we really, if we go through a tipping point from which we can't get out, it's when Iran actually gets nuclear weapons.
But that's the issue, is that they already, I said this would happen, and a few months ago they go, we don't care about the last mullah. The new mullah says we need nukes. And by the way, we can build one in a week now, they say. The big thing is delivery systems. So the point is, if they think blowing up these old bases where they made the stuff, the weapons aren't going to be there. So this is all just for show. And so the question is, are they that insane? But the problem is that now they have nukes. Saudi's going to want them. It's going to be a proliferation.
Oh, yeah.
And so if we push them too hard, then they will use the nukes.
Well, Iran's for war can get, the only way to stop it, I think, at this point, probably then is regime change with Iran. Is to set about Trump.
Well, that's what it's really about, is blowing up the missiles so they can't deliver them. But like you said, they'll have a tanker come in with one, or they'll smuggle it across the Mexican border.
Or they'll have a cargo ship. They've mastered the art. They've been doing this in the Caspian
Sea. Drone attacks.
Having a cargo ship that can fire a missile from the hull. So they get that 500 miles off our coast in the Atlantic, and they put up an EMP. They put it and knock out our power on the eastern grid. So they will do that. They're suicidal. They don't care. So it seems to me this is our last. If the world does not arrest this tipping point, it's going to be a different world on the far side once Iran's
real. What about Mandami? I was deeply researching him. He comes from a hardcore special Shiite sect. It's kind of like their ruling group. And they put on the act, they're all liberal and stuff. They're allowed to deceive, you know, under that system. But more I research about him, he is like a comic. He's a nuclear bomb. That guy's an actual sleeper.
Oh, yeah. And doesn't seem to make much of an attempt to disguise it either, does he?
Well, he got caught. Like, he wasn't just talking to their diplomats. He was caught talking to the leadership of Iran.
Is he an Ismaili? Is he Pakistani ethnically?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, the Pakistanis have a Shiite group called Ismaili that is basically, well.
No, that's the group. That was it, yeah.
Yeah, they're secret Shia. They're Shia. They're not officially Shia, but they're Shia. They're loyal to Iran.
Well, the whole religion is about being secret, even more so than the Quran. Like, they're super deceptive. Like, they dress, remember they caught all those Iranian groups that were all, you know, dressing provocatively, swimming pools, parties, and they were all like super Shia. Mm.
Yeah, well, I was encouraged that during our World Cup, one would have thought that if we were going to have terrorist attacks in the United States, the DHS must have been really on their toes to stop anything.
Well, I think the Iranians, at the end of the day, say they're reckless, and they are. I mean,
they don't care.
Let's come back.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best. And he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call, and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900, and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground, they dig their tunnels, they drive it to the refinery, they melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is, type in what's wholesale gold and silver, and then you get it from them with a little processing fee, and then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. You get a free telephone consultation, email. You call 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.